What looked to be a complete runaway game throughout much of the contest quickly turned into a dogfight in South Bend between the Michigan State Spartans and Notre Dame. They saw a 29-point lead cut to just 8 with about 6 minutes left to play, but would hold on for a big road win. Gutsy effort for why the Spartans are now ranked this week as the number 8 team in the college football poll by both the Associated Press and the Amway Coaches poll. We now invite our own very own Al Martin, host of WKAR's Current Sports, to talk Michigan State football, as well as touch on the Detroit Lions failing in their depressing home opener loss to the Tennessee Titans. And we're also joined by a current state's Scott Pohl.
Morning.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mickey. How you doing?
Good. So big weekend for the Spartans.
Huge weekend. I mean, I think that when you evaluate this game, and you just mentioned, Mickey, how, I mean, they saw a 29-point lead dwindle to just 8. I mean, there were many Spartan fans watching that game in that fourth quarter really on the edge of their seats and feeling a bit unnerving, to say the least. But nonetheless, as Mark D'Antonio loves to say, he loves to say that old line from George Perlis, hey, they all count one, right? And they all count one. A win is a win.
I kept turning away. I've seen this before. I can't watch it, but they did it. And but what happened? I mean, what do you guys figure?
Well, you know, for Scott, before you go on your rant, I just to talk about the offensive line
for
a minute, because when you evaluate that offensive line, that's what really stood out to me, in complete contrast to what happened in game one against Furman. I mean, especially in the third quarter, that's when MSU really exploded and really went out to that 29-point lead. The offense scored 3 touchdowns. They had 260 yards on the ground, 164 in the third quarter alone. And then you evaluate time of possession. I mean, there is a 16-minute differential when evaluating the time that Notre Dame had the football on offense compared to Michigan State. And, you know, I actually clocked that final drive the first half.
Yeah.
Michigan State got the football to end the first half at 5:06. They gave it back to Notre Dame with under a minute left in that first half. Notre Dame, of course, that drive fizzled out and they go into halftime feeling pretty good. I mean, but that really stood out to me also. The wide receivers, I think that R.J. Shelton, when you evaluate that talented wide receiver core, R.J. Shelton, in my opinion, is the most consistent out of all of them. I thought R.J. was fantastic. Monty Medeiros is his name. You can also bring up Donnie Corley with the spectacular catch. 190 total yards from the receivers. So,
I think we've got a quarterback, too.
Yeah, and the thing,
I mean,
well,
you know, because this was a question coming into the season.
It certainly was, and I think that Tyler O'Connor, you still have some growing pains with him. I think. I mean, you saw him underthrow a few receivers. You saw him with the interception. You see some growing pains with him. But at the same time, I thought he did an overall good job of just managing the game, and he made some things happen with his feet. I mean, when Michigan State needs to make a big play or get a first down, I mean, you saw Tyler O'Connor get out of the pocket, take his time, and again, he's not going to burst out for a 10 or 20 yard gain. He's just going to be very efficient with his feet, just to do enough to move the chains.
But he picked up first downs, and that's all he had when he had the opening.
Certainly.
I still wish sometime when Terry is in the game that they would let him throw the ball, because so far it is so obvious that it's going to be a running play when they put Terry into the game that it's just not an efficient offense when he's in the game. They got to let him throw the ball sometime out of that formation.
So true. It becomes so predictable, right, Scott?
I mean,
when Damian Terry is in the football game, you know that it's going to be a run to either side. So, yeah, they become very one-dimensional when that happens. But I think, you know, Tyler he's playing good right now, but not great. There's still a lot of room for improvement, Mickey.
Well, yeah, and it's still pretty early in the season.
It is.
So, but, you know, we've seen the good signs, and you could have been, you know, could have had that moment where you're going, where do we really go from here? What are we seeing next? What's coming up?
Well, Wisconsin is this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
tough game.
When you evaluate Wisconsin, and I must say this, though. When, you know, a big reason why Michigan State was an underdog heading into this Notre Dame game, in my opinion, had to do because they were ranked higher than Notre Dame in both polls, excuse me. But when you look at, you know, this week, that week two bye, I mean, you expect a guy and a team in Michigan State with a new quarterback in Tyler O'Connor to come off a week two bye and have to go on the road to try and beat Notre Dame, a team that's already in a groove. They played all 3 weeks. They're feeling pretty good. DeShone Kizer looks like a playmaker, and you expect them to win. That's why Michigan State was an underdog in that game. For me, when you evaluate the schedule, this game against Notre Dame was the biggest question mark for me. And the reason why I, along with a lot of people out there, chose Michigan State as an underdog in that game. When you look at the rest of the schedule, there is not a game you can point at and say, I don't know about that one for the Spartans, in my opinion, when evaluating right. their chances to win.
Well, and I also thought Notre Dame had that first game loss. Mm. And so they've got a chip on their shoulder, right. and they say this is a exactly. must game. If we want to do
Texas,
anything,
yeah.
we've got to win this. So you say that's extra. And that's another reason that they were, the favorite and playing at home, is always a big deal right. for them.
Al, Mickey, the prevent defense and going in the shell as early as State did.
Yeah.
I understand the size of the lead and the temptation to do that on offense, run to take time off the clock. But the prevent defense, I'm from the school of thought that the prevent defense prevents victory a lot of the time.
Right.
And it almost did Saturday night.
Well, D'Antonio sort of said that.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed
certainly.
To sort of fall on his sword on that.
And Scott, you and I were talking. I mean, the thing is, it goes back to the old saying, you're playing not to lose instead of playing right. to win. You got to play to win at the same time. And it became very, talk about predictable, right? Michigan State, when it came to that offensive scheme, all Brian Kelly did was just load the box. He knew they were going to just run the football. He loaded the box and forced Michigan State to punt it. And then it got scary because DeShone Kizer tried to really test that Michigan State leaky secondary. And it almost cost him the game, I must say.
A friend of mine yesterday, in talking about the game, said that Bo Schembechler used to say that he wouldn't go into the stall kind of a prevent defense and take time off the clock offense until he had a 5-touchdown lead. Mm-hmm. Now that sounds crazy. Oh, why not do it when you've got a 4-touchdown lead? Well, Saturday night is why you don't do it with a 4-touchdown lead.
Totally agree. You got to play to win the game. And they got way too conservative on both sides of the ball. But when we've seen Michigan State do this in the past as well. I mean, when I saw it, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, again, this could become very interesting. And I really thought that Notre Dame could have pulled out a comeback there.
Hey, we're speaking with Al Martin, the host of WKAR's Current Sports, and also with our own Current States, Scott Pohl. Well, so they, let's switch over to the Lions.
Yeah.
Get off the good news.
Do we have to, Mickey?
Really? Yeah, do we have to, Mickey? But go ahead.
Oh, it was so depressing, wasn't it? I mean, watching, they were up. They had it. About 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes left. The Titans get a touchdown. Yeah, I guess it was a minute and a half.
Yeah, it was a minute and a half. And I really thought that Matthew Stafford, who was getting a lot of flack on many sports talk shows from here to Pluto due to that late game interception, I thought Matthew Stafford had a pretty good game until that fourth quarter interception. He tried to squeeze a back foot throw in traffic to Eric Ebron. Really nothing there. Game over. But, look at his stats. I mean, he was 22 of 40 for 260 yards. He was really hurt by a lot of drops. Receivers dropped passes left mm-hmm. and right throughout that game. But, and then how about Matthew Stafford showing some toughness? We saw him get out there and block a few guys out there. We saw him lower, really could have been.
He blew a guy over.
Didn't he? He lowered, he had the truck stick on one guy, lowered the shoulder and put one defender on his back and, got the first down. I'm sitting there saying, okay, that was a nice play, but that could have ended badly. Matthew Stafford is tough.
Yeah.
And I think that interception is going to sort of overshadow what he was able to do throughout much of that game. Scott?
Okay, Al, 17 penalties for the Lions in that game. Now, listen.
They were going for the NFL record, weren't they?
Well, I guess
they
tied a team record. 17 tied
the team record. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people will complain about the officiating, and I agree that it went overboard. But the Lions probably actually did commit 14 or 15 of those 17 penalties.
Certainly.
I'd
say about 80% of them. I would say about 80% of them. And then how about when, they're in the red zone and, Matthew Stafford does a great job of finding Eric Ebron. They call it back they said he pushed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, again,
saw nothing.
I didn't see anything on that play.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, okay, it's like, all right, see Matthew Stafford, stay composed, say, all right, let's play the next down. Then all of a sudden, they get two holding penalties and they have to kick a field goal. That is, you can't do that. Again,
right.
as you mentioned, Scott, 17 penalties for 138 yards. You cannot win or beat any team in the NFL, let alone the Tennessee Titans, if you play like that.
Compare and contrast. Mm-hmm. The New England Patriots, Tom Brady suspended. Garoppolo gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing someone named Jacoby Brissett at quarterback yesterday and still won.
Exactly.
The Lions cannot win as consistently as they ought to when you look at a team like New England. Third string quarterback doesn't matter. They go on to a victory. Why can't the Lions do that historically?
Right.
58 years it's been since they've won one playoff game in my lifetime.
My goodness.
This is so frustrating to be a Lions fan. Talk about the Patriots a little bit, though. How did they do that with a third-string quarterback?
Third-string quarterback, and, you know, when I saw Jimmy Garoppolo go down, I said to myself, oh, boy. I mean, now they have to rely on their third-string quarterback now. I mean, because, you know, Tom Brady's out with the whole Deflategate suspension. But this, the Patriots are a team that's created a culture, though, Scott. I mean, they've created a culture of winning. So when their backs are against the wall, this isn't a team that, again, I know how good Tom Brady is, one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest quarterback to ever play. But this is a team, defensively and offensively, they have so many weapons, and they're so smart. They don't shoot themselves in the foot, and it led to yet another win on a Sunday for them. So moving forward, again, they'll get time back week four. So, you know.
Week five.
Okay, yes, because it's a four-week suspension, right? He'll come back on week five. I think if they just tread water like they've been. I mean, and they've been winning, you know, by quote-unquote treading water. When they get him back, they're going to be in great position. I think we'll see the Patriots back in the playoffs. And going back to the Lions, too, I thought that the run game for the Lions, which was so great against the Indianapolis Colts in week one. Again, the Lions, they ran for 137 yards, 106, of course, from their running backs, but they didn't get as much production from their backfield as they did last week. And, you know, look at guys like Ameer Abdullah, you know, Theo Riddick. I mean, they averaged just 3.4 yards, and that's put a lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford to try and go out there with a mindset, okay, I got to win this game by myself. And, you know, it led, unfortunately, to that late game interception.
We've got about 2 minutes to go. Baseball season's wrapping up. Thoughts on that?
Oh, boy, the Detroit Tigers. How about them, right?
Yeah. They finally beat Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah, they finally beat Cleveland. And, you know, it's 2 weeks left in the MLB season. And, again, this is when you got to start playing your best baseball. But it's been a catch-22 with this Detroit Tigers team this year. Either, you know, they'll come out and have great starting pitching, but no run support. Or the run support is there, and the starting pitching is nowhere to be found. So we haven't been able to really get an accurate read on this Detroit Tigers team this season, because there has been nothing that has been even keel throughout the entire year. They're not going to win, of course, the division. I mean, the Cleveland Indians, I mean, they have that on lock in the AL Central. They're still in the mix for a wild card, and for Detroit Tigers fans out there, that's all they can hope for at this point.
Well, yeah, it's a crazy season. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, so we were up there. You know, I know that you shouldn't say that.
What a year for the Yankees, right?
Well, it was until they started playing Boston this week, and now I'm going, that was just awful. But they're a rebuilding year, so we'll take it that way. Hey, I want to thank everyone. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. We've been speaking with Al Martin, who's the host of WKAR's Current Sports, and with Current State's Scott Pohl, following a wrapping up the weekend football season, taking a little bit of look ahead.